This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Crick here. You're listening to 670 The Score on a Cubs victory Sunday. We talked about the Cubbies earlier in the show. I think that the Cubs need to rebuild. I honestly do. I think that a teardown is necessary. I think at this point we talk a little bit about this lineup and what value you can get on the open market compared to the other teams that are definitely going to be sellers, which there's not many. And I think you can get some good value. And on top of that, promote some of those prospects that are in the top 100 of all minor leaguers. So that's key. But I think the same thing is true when it comes to the Bulls, who are almost in the exact same spot as the Cubs. 312-644-6767. And I think that the same feeling that we're getting from ownership, hey, just wait and see, the same thing that we're getting from the front office, real murky vision. Like, not a lot of answers in terms of what is it that you're trying to do and trying to achieve. I think that should piss fans off. Chicago fans off, Cubs fans off, Bulls fans off. To me, there needs to be a plan and there needs to be things that we see visually that show that the implementation of that plan is happening. And I have been told, hey, Trista, wait for the offseason for the Bulls before you decide to quote-unquote kill us. I've seen it. And I think I'm ready to still be quite skeptical. Let's go to Cereal. Cereal from Sacramento. What's up?
What's up, Trista? You know I love you from D'Lo and KC, so I had to listen in. And being a transplant from Chicago that moved to Sacramento, lived in Chicago for 40 years, and watching what this team has done, it kills me from the inside. Like, it was great at first. They went out and got Ball and Vucevic, and they tried to do something. And unfortunately, due to all the injuries of Ball, it just didn't work out. But they waited, like you said, it's 1 year, 2 years too late that they held on to this when they could have got max value for all these guys. And none of the fan base would have been mad at them. They would have understood because of all the Ball injuries and everything that was going on. But now you got a fan base that's like, dude, what are you bringing back to the table? You're not bringing anything back that's helping us move forward. You are stuck in this purgatory of you think you can halfway still compete for, a playoff spot with these young kids, but you're holding on to what could help bring these kids along. Like the Patrick Williams of the world that's still trying to develop. At least Kobe kind of had a breakout year. But in the grand scheme of things, you've got your core or these couple core guys you got, cool. Let everything else go. Get what you can for them, which, again, you should have done a year or two ago. And let's move forward. I mean, you're a top three city. And like you said with the Cubs too, like, but you're acting as if you're holding on to this money for what? For what?
Yeah, good point, Cereal. I wholeheartedly agree. Thanks so much for your call. I think that ownership from like the Cubs side and from the Bulls side, I'll lump them both together, honestly, that they don't believe in us as fans. They don't believe that we'll come to the games and we'll spend our money if they're not telling us that they're really competing, that we can't live through a rebuild. That, by the way, that happens in New York as well. The Yankees have been peddling that they can't truly rebuild or tear down for many years now. This is a very big market thing to do, a very heavy capitalistic take all your money as a fan and lie to you so that you continue to come to the arena thing to do. So, like, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I will as an aside. Why do you think that the Bulls were pushing for a play-in spot this year? That if it's true that ownership said, we can't move these guys because we need to make a push for the play-in, which they've done now multiple years, why is that? Like, not just that one game, right? It's not just the one play-in game that they do that. Because that's not the amount of money is somewhat negligible for that. It's because they're selling future season tickets to you. They're telling you that that's how things are going to be in the future, that this is a playoff caliber team. So that you then spend your money in the future, even though maybe a teardown is imminent. And I believe that fans can handle the truth as long as we believe that there's competency happening. That I think the UC is lit enough and a fun environment enough that if the basketball is fun and young and isn't a play-in or playoff team, that will still go. I think Wrigley is historic enough and enjoyable enough, and the Wrigleyville itself is great enough that even if the team is not good, if we know that we're headed towards something, that we will hang on. But they want to lie to us. It's like a bad boyfriend, right? That will tell you that he's looking for jobs and that he went on all of these interviews. And truthfully, he hasn't done any of those things. He just wants you to not break up with him. But if he told you, look, I'm struggling at a place in my life right now where I need to change careers. I don't know really what I need to do. Like, I'm going to go back to school. I need you to help support me when I'm making less money. And we can do this together. I think we stick around as people when we believe, when the truth is being told to us and we see that the actions are in alignment with the plan. And for the Bulls, the actions have not been in alignment with the plan. They say that they want to compete and they want to contend, but they give their assets away that helps this team build the coffers for the future. They pay Zach LaVine $50 million a year, and he has a player option, even though he's got a history of knee injuries. And we knew that. And I don't think they really even wanted to pay him, but they couldn't let him walk for free. Again, mismanagement of the assets. You pay Patrick Williams, but let's be honest, Patrick Williams hasn't done anything to deserve the money that he got, except for that $15 million in today's NBA is almost nothing when it comes to trading that asset for something else. And to be frank with you, players that leave the Bulls typically get better than when they were on the Bulls, a.k.a. Lauri Markkanen, a.k.a. Wendell Carter, the list goes, a.k.a. Daniel Gafford, the list goes on and on. So, as an outsider, and my appraisal of the Chicago Bulls is that in a nutshell, we're getting too little too late for them. And the only reason that they're willing to rebuild right now, quote unquote, is because they don't want to give up on potentially getting Cooper Flagg. If you're not a top 10 pick right now, if you don't have a top 10 pick for 2025, that's going to the San Antonio Spurs. And that's going to happen next year as well. So 25 and 26, I bet you the Chicago Bulls have the third or fourth worst record in basketball. And that may be a good thing, that may be a bad thing, depending on who's making that pick. But overall, in terms of the offseason in a nutshell, we can break it down. Because I wasn't going to talk about the overarching issues of ownership lying to fans, but I feel really passionate about that. So the Bulls, in a nutshell, so you move DeRozan for 2 second-round picks and Chris Duarte. Those 2 seconds are going right out the door. Chris Duarte, we know, as somebody who watched the Sacramento Kings a lot, because I go on Sacramento radio every week, Chris Duarte ain't it. They put him in the starting lineup, and he was immediately ain't it. He made Kevin Huerter's mentality so broken because he had to go to the bench that I don't know if Kevin Huerter will recover as a Sacramento King. So that can be construed, I think, as a loss. You traded Caruso for Josh Giddey straight up. Let's talk really fast about the elephant in the room with Josh Giddey. We, outside of basketball, you cannot have low character guys on your team, or guys that even have a whiff of low character on their team. I contacted multiple teams and GMs and scouts on teams that are winning. And I said, what is the main reason, besides the fact that you have a top five player, top 10 player in this league, why is this team a winning team? And they said, we do not allow bad character guys in the building. And I don't know what the deal is with Josh Giddey. I have no idea what the legality or the facts are, but I'm telling you, fans are not going to support someone with those off the court issues unless he is the second coming Michael Jordan. So I think and you could have gotten two first round picks for Alex Caruso, two from the Golden State Warriors. There were multiple teams like Sacramento that wanted to trade with you for Alex Caruso, but no, we had to stay the course at the deadline to get into the play-in game. A major cornerstone of the Nuggets championship was that they never would allow a bad character guy in the team. So that's an L right there. Like I said, Patrick Williams, 5 years, $90 million. That only makes sense if you're planning to move him. Because at this point, I don't know if giving him an extension when he's averaging 9 points per game makes sense. He only played 43 games last year, Patrick Williams. Love the Jalen. I'll give a little like positivity. Jalen Smith, I love. He's awesome. 3 years, $27 million. He is a nice big. I think he could probably be a decent backup on a good team. You saw it. He was just out of the rotation for the Pacers. But he's a guy who can give you good minutes. He can play defense, and he can stretch the floor. He's small as a center, but I think that's a guy that I would at least say, that was a decent value, especially in a market where centers are hard to come by, and maybe you're thinking about flipping him as well. Because I think you have to think about everybody in terms of a garage sale. Can I put this back up on eBay? If so, I will acquire it and resell it at a later date. But the fact that the Bulls haven't moved off of Vucevic or LaVine, and they're going to need to give assets away to do so, considering that this team paid three first-round picks, one of which became Franz Wagner, who just signed a contract for over $200 million for Vucevic, will be a very terrible prospect for the future. The Vuc contract and the trade is going to go down as one of the worst in Bulls history. Twice. Because it's not just getting into Vuc, it's getting out of Vuc. You know what I mean? Think about it. It's not just getting into Vuc, it's now getting out of Vuc. So all told, maybe you have to give up four first-round picks and a second for the Vuc experience. How has the Vuc experience been for you? That's what I'd like to know. Are you enjoying the Vucevic experience, the lack of defense, the guy who can get you a double-double on any given night but does not contribute to winning in any meaningful way because he started in Orlando? No. This is tough. To be a Bulls fan right now is tough. Here's what Nick Friedell had to say about this offseason, specifically about the trade with DeMar DeRozan.
It's another case of the Bulls holding on way too long to a player who could have gotten much better value in return earlier. And the outpouring of love for DeRozan has been something to see, certainly on social media, not only from the Chicago beat writers, but people who dealt with him day to day within the organization. It's been impressive. I mean, the guy made his mark in a few years, and he's very clearly a good guy, but as far as the Bulls, short-term and long-term, he doesn't fit. And they should have moved him last year when they could have gotten more pieces back, just like they should have moved Caruso when they could have gotten more at the deadline. Just like they should have moved LaVine a year and a half ago when they could have gotten a lot more back, and now they can't get off that contract. I mean, Andre Drummond, you could have gotten a couple second-round picks for him, and he just walked to Philly. So it's another case to me of why the Bulls are where they are, because the front office has made bad mistake after bad mistake over and over. Ownership is running things the way that they have chosen to do so, and it's why you have a product that just isn't very good. And if you're a Bulls fan, on top of what's gone on recently with the DeRozan move now, when you combine that with the decisions that have been made leading up to this, even this summer, you just shake your head. I mean, there is a reason why the Bulls within the league, people just roll their eyes and shake their heads when you start talking about the moves that have been made. This is another one of them. Even if he had to go and you've got to hit the button on another teardown, you could have gotten more, and once again, they did.
That was Nick Friedell right there, just spitting cold, hard facts here on the issues with this front office for the Bulls and the value that they've gotten back for the teardown. And the teardown is coming. It's just a matter of when. We've known that it was coming for years. I actually have people that I know within the Bulls organization that I try to tell, hey, like, you guys are not going to be good this year. Like, I'm just telling you, I can see the team. I can see this roster. I don't know what you're saying to yourself inside those little confines, but it's a circle jerk over there because you guys are not going to be very good. You need to trade everything of value right now before other people realize your assets aren't very good. And now they either are able to walk out the door for free like Andre Drummond, or they're getting you back less than you probably could have got a year ago, 2 years ago. Someone to me wrote to me, by the way, Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. Give me a call if you also want to talk about this Bulls team, because I definitely want to hear from fans. Because I would be livid. I'm not a Bulls fan, but I would be. I'm actually pissed for you. But someone wrote to me that the fact that so many people are okay about this offseason, like they people are like on Reddit as well, like online, they're just kind of very sanguine about this offseason from AK and the moves that are finally, quote unquote, being made. And that is more of an indictment than anything else. The fact that how terrible it's been, and that it's really still pretty bad now, but people are rejoicing, shows how badly this front office has done. They have done the bare minimum and now are giving you some moves, but it's 2 years too late, and it's still seen as a massive win by some of the fan base. And to me, that's like an unhappy girlfriend who is swooning and telling her mom and calling her friends because her deadbeat boyfriend finally decided to take out the trash and wipe the counters down. I'm sorry, you guys have been together for forever, and it's been like this whole time. Let's talk to Matt from Aurora, who has some thoughts about the Bulls. What's up, Matt? You're on The Score.
Hey, so I've been somebody that's been kind of like following this for a little bit, and I'll be honest, I'm in the impression that this is Carlos Boozer 2.0. You know, we bring in guys that we miss out on the free agent market. Unfortunately, we're not the team to get the top person. So all of a sudden we scramble, we go get somebody. And, you know, I'll be honest, it's like, I feel like Vooch is Carlos Boozer 2.0. It's like we needed the guy that was the double-double dude who made our fans happy, got fans in the seats. But at the end of the day, he was a guy just to be a stat guy. It's not a W guy. It's a stat guy. And I'm just tired of it. So, you know, I'm in the impression that this is a Carlos Boozer 2.0. We're stuck. Now we got to deal this dude. No one wants him. It's just frustrating. It's frustrating being a Bulls fan. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you so much for your call. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Carlos Boozer 2.0 is a big indictment because that was one of those moves that had you frozen in an ice cube, unwilling or able really to do anything else because you were hamstrung with that contract. And you're right. I think that there's a lack of patience and a scrambling to be in the middle. And I think you can only really be two places in sports. You can either be on the top or on the bottom or ascending, right? And you're seeing this with a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder. They went to the bottom, but you knew very clearly based on what they were doing that they were accumulating assets, that they had young players, and they made trades that very clearly, obviously, immediately benefited them. So let's talk about this after the break. Do the Bulls actually have a plan? What do I think the plan is? And what do we make of what this upcoming season will look like? Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. Give me a call. What do you think? 312-644-6767. We'll be back right after this. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Trista Crick here on The Score. Oh, man, it's a beautiful Sunday. We've been talking about the Cubs. Now we're chatting Bulls. Drop me a line, 312-644-6767, and give me your thoughts. Also, I have to let you guys know, you got to meet Ron Coomer from 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Friday, July 19th at his restaurant, Coom's Corner in Lockport, by the way. Coom's going to meet fans. He's going to sign autographs. He's going to give away memorabilia. And I think there's more than that coming. I don't know what that more is, but there's more happening. It's all brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Back to the Bulls. I'm concerned about so many things. I'm concerned about the roster, specifically, like, what is the plan for this roster? I guess the question really is, do the Bulls have a plan? And it doesn't seem like that. And Nick Friedell came on the show almost an hour ago, and he doesn't seem to think that they have a plan either. Someone wrote to me the fact that so many people are okay with this offseason is an indictment. I said this right before the break as well, that the fact that there are fans that are okay, that are making excuses and saying, okay, well, if we're finally doing something, shows really more of an indictment about how this management staff has been doing for the last 2 years. Doing the bare minimum and doing it way too late and not really giving us information. I listened to 30 minutes of my Lithuanian brother-in-arms, Arturas Karnisovas, tell me about the Bulls, and I can't tell you one thing he said that I could really say by any stretch of the imagination gave me any specifics. None. And we're swooning and saying, well, at least we got something for DeMar. At least we're going to move Zach LaVine. Like, what's happening with Lonzo Ball, by the way, who says he's going to be playing come game one? And I spoke to a leading front office executive from a recent championship winning franchise. And I said, what do you think the overall plan is for the Bulls? And he said, I can't see one. And then followed it up with saying, Trista, who is the cornerstone player that this team can build around and someone that will elevate his teammates? And the truth of the matter is the Bulls do not have one of those players. Not one. Not one. Not Kobe. Not Io. Not anyone. And I think those are the two most important questions as you evaluate the Bulls as a fan. Do you know what the plan is? Can you see the plan? And do we have someone that I think, as a team, we can build this entire franchise around? If the answer to one of those isn't yes, then boy, oh boy, do we have real problems. Because if you have a plan and you don't have a marquee player, that's okay. Because those are really hard to find. Marquee players do not come around every damn day. It took the Spurs a very long time to get Victor Wembanyama. It took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander coming to the Oklahoma City Thunder because of a trade, because they found a way to luck in to making the trade for Paul George and then flipped him. A lot of it comes from deal making or being bad enough to find that talent in the draft and develop them. Those are the questions. So here's the big issue for me. I don't think the Bulls have a plan. And that is an appraisal from other sharp minds in the NBA. So if I was running the Bulls, which I think I'd be able to do a better job than them, by the way, I think I would have a real hard time kowtowing to ownership. So I'd probably be fired real quick. Like, I'd probably be gone so fast. But at least I would stand true to my ethos. AK, stand up to your ethos, my guy. If you have a plan and you're getting thrown off course by ownership, then we kind of need you out. The plan that I think the Bulls should follow is the San Antonio Spurs. They need to emulate the Spurs and how they rebuilt their team. Sam Quinn of CBS Sports wrote this about the Spurs recently, and I think Bulls 100% should emulate this. The Spurs understand the financial landscape that the new CBA has created. They, like the Thunder, have decided that the best way to navigate the second apron minefield will be to cycle in new, cheap young players as soon as their existing veterans become too expensive to retain. The idea will be to organically replenish the supporting cast around Wembanyama without ever having to make the sort of high-risk, here are multiple first-round picks in an expensive veteran trade that most other contenders are making today. A la even DeMar DeRozan for 2 second-round picks. That's not super risky, but he is older and he is expensive. In a perfect world, the Spurs will never need to go all in because they'll constantly have the assets to add cheap youth around Wembanyama and whatever core they wind up putting around him in the coming years. Yes, that is how I believe a rebuild should be done. And it means a lot of bad basketball. Did you see how many games the San Antonio Spurs won last year with Victor Wembanyama? Not many. They had the 4th pick and the 8th pick in this draft. And I don't see there's any other option for you. You have to find an elite player. And if you can't rebuild around one right now, because the Bulls don't have one, you need to either draft one or you need to trade for one or get one on the free agent market. Who is available to be that cornerstone right now? Is that Zion? Well, Zion's got real problems in terms of his availability on the court. Is that Donovan Mitchell? Donovan Mitchell just signed a 3-year deal. With the Cavs. But the fact that Donovan Mitchell was willing to stay with the Cavs tells you that if you build it, they will come. They built a lot of ancillary pieces where they were a star away from being at least competitive again without LeBron James. They got Evan Mobley. They ended up getting Darius Garland. They moved out Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton they got early in the lottery as well. So Donovan Mitchell is a testament to the fact that you don't need a star necessarily to have and implement the plan that requires the star. Paul George just signed with the Sixers. I don't think he's a cornerstone player. I don't think Brandon Ingram is a cornerstone player. So it's hard to find one. The Bulls already tried to build a team around DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And we knew, let's be honest, we knew Zach LaVine was never him. We knew Zach LaVine was a nice piece, good second, third option, but we've seen Zach LaVine in the clutch make some of the most boneheaded decisions that makes you feel like he's trying to lose that game, then win that game. I love DeMar, but there's a reason that Toronto had to trade him to get a championship, and that was because they found a game-changing player in Kawhi Leonard. And sometimes that's all it takes. You have the same team, you have a franchise-altering player, and you get a chip. Minnesota gave up on LaVine, and look where they are now. Look where Minnesota is. They found, they got Anthony Edwards, and they made it work from there. And yes, they had Carl Anthony Towns, but he's an ancillary piece. We call him the potatoes to the steak. So you need the steak, but it's also important to have all the side dishes ready for when the steak gets onto the dish. With teams now being able to offer their homegrown talent supermax contracts in excess of what they can get anywhere else, there's less incentive for these big-time stars to jump ship, like Ja or Ant. So I guess the question for Bulls fans is, like, what moves do you want to see the Bulls make? Because to me, like, if you think Ace Bailey's that guy, if you think Cooper Flagg is that guy, then you need to just hang on for him. And it's just like the Kobe White experiment, him just jacking up threes. It's the Ayo Dosunmu, like, take 6-7 threes a game. I don't know. To me, that's what I think the Bulls should be doing. Don't worry too much about Josh Giddey or Kobe White or who is the point guard for this team or who is the center for this team. Nothing really matters until we get set with the plan. And I, at this point, I'm not really sure what that is. So to me, the Spurs and the Thunder are the teams that you look at. And I think even though it took them a while, and the Spurs are still in it right now, we at least know what they have going on. And I'm getting people who cover the Bulls and are around the Bulls say, Trista, you're giving us too hard of a time. You're being too mean to us. But at the same point, I feel like all the criticism is fair when the rest of the league is rolling their eyes and scoffing at every move that you make. Let's go over to Adam in Round Lake. What's up, Adam? You're on the Score.
Hey, Chris, you're doing a great job today. I just had one opinion. I wondered what your thoughts are as to why maybe Patrick Williams couldn't fill this void as a potential superstar. He's been blocked by DeMar and LaVine for the last few years, and maybe this is his opportunity to shine. Despite his injury issues in the past, he might be the player they could build around.
Thanks so much for your call, Adam. I just do not see that as Patrick Williams's upside. I think he's a fine role player on a team that could be contending. But at this point, you're talking about a guy who's shooting, you know, 36% from 36% from three. He's only shooting four a game. I don't see him being the guy. If you watch him play, you also will see that as well. Regardless whether he's being blocked or not, he doesn't pop off the screen. Even when Anthony Edwards arrived on the scene, you could see star in him. I don't think that's Patrick Williams. I don't think if you give Patrick Williams 40 minutes a game and the Rock, that he all of a sudden becomes a superstar player. And frankly, I don't think that's Lauri Markkanen either. Lauri Markkanen is going to be a fine player in this league. He's probably going to deliver 5-6 first round picks back. And that's what I think you hope for in Patrick Williams, is get him to a point where you can fleece other people to believe that he can be a cornerstone of this franchise. But I don't think he'll ever be that. And truthfully, I don't think he's going to maximize his value on this team until he's somewhere else. So at $15 million a year, I think he's a really good trade piece. And I want to love him, and I want to be wrong. And obviously, when he was at Florida State, he was electric. That's why he was the fourth overall pick. But it was a suspect fourth pick as well. It wasn't a pick that anybody thought, oh, wow, that's a really good pick. Do you know what I'm saying? And I know that wasn't AK's draft. I know he came in after that. But if you look at the 2020 draft as a whole, there were other guys below, like Tyrese Haliburton, for example, that's a guy. And I know that at the time that wasn't the case. Nobody thought Tyrese Haliburton was going to be a franchise cornerstone player. But that's the guy. Devin Vassell, who went 11th, that's a guy that I think you can build around. But not Patrick Williams for me. Definitely, definitely not. Let's go to that Friedel cut in terms of who does Friedel think Or what does Friedel think would give him actually confidence in the Bulls moving forward?
The only thing that would make me feel like the Bulls were serious about finally getting things back to the level that they were at 10 years ago or so is if they got rid of these guys and they brought in Bob Myers. And Trista, it's the same idea with Myers. I mean, he made a lot of really good decisions with the Warriors, but there's a reason Bob left when he did. I mean, he saw that Warriors, that gravy train was sliding in the wrong way. He saw the decisions that were coming, and that's why right now he's sitting there doing TV. But he still has the track record and the pedigree of a guy who knows how to build title winners, and he's the best, to me, available choice that's out there. So the Bulls just wouldn't do this because that's not, again, how the Ryan Source operate. But my opinion is if they were to go out and they were to say, all right, Bob, you're the guy. We are going to put more money behind you than we have in the past. And we're going to let you make the choices, period. Nobody else. That would show me that they're ready to finally get things on a much better track than they've been on.
Wow. Honestly, that would be a big vote of confidence that I would get for the Bulls as well. If this team found somebody that was an elite talent evaluator like Bob Myers. Also, there's a messy situation going on in Minnesota with the ownership. A-Rod and Mark Lowry trying to own this team and things getting very messy. And now Tim Connelly, he just signed an extension for a year, but I think he has another opt-out next year. If you want to talk about a guy who's actually the guy who AK worked with, if there was a way to somehow finesse Tim Connelly to go from Minnesota to Chicago, if something implodes there on the ownership level, Tim Connelly to me is the guy that I know makes moves that we don't understand. The Rudy Gobert trade was completely criticized, lambasted, excoriated, and we all thought that Tim Connelly had lost his fastball, but it was us that lost our fastball. And now all of a sudden the Minnesota Timberwolves are one of the most potent teams in the Western Conference. That would be the kind of person that I would like to see running the Bulls. Will that happen? That remains to be seen. We'll wrap up the show next. 312-644-6767. We got another team that's doing quite well right now. Another girl that's getting her double-doubles. Angel Reese firmly in the Rookie of the Year conversation, and it is getting hotter than fish grease. Come back. Let me know your thoughts. 312-644-6767. We'll be back right after this.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Just wrapping up the show here on a beautiful Sunday, on a savory Sunday. Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. We talked a little bit about the Cubs. Now we're chatting Bulls a little bit. Drop me a line, 312-644-6767. Before we talk a little bit about the Sky, we've got a caller from Deerfield, Jimmy, who wants to talk a little bit about the Bulls as well. Looking forward to hearing that. What's up, Jimmy? You're on the Score.
Trista, I love your show. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
And my thought is I think we have to be a little patient, but at the same time, if we're looking to identify the star, it just doesn't grow right away. Look at SGA. He was pretty good at Charlotte before he went to OKC. Look at Jalen Brunson. Backup, pretty good player, but he grew into his own, became a star. I think if we select somebody that can create, can beat the one-on-one in NBA matchups, that's when you're able to be able to score more because like a Patrick Williams, he cannot create. So he'll never be the player. But I think we just have to be patient and identify. And when we see the opportunity, pull the trigger. Because when you look at Luka, he creates one-on-one. That's why there's a star. Anthony Edwards creates. Jalen Brunson. And how about Jaylen Brown? So I think that's where they have to start to identify somebody that can create. Zach LaVine created but didn't play defense. and I'll stop my call and I'll take you to listen to your comments. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jimmy. I think Jimmy's so right about Zach LaVine. Like, in today's superstar-driven NBA, you at least need a guard or a creator that isn't a complete zero on defense. And I know that Jalen Brunson isn't the best, and I know that Luka isn't the best, but the team had to then surround those players with other guys that were two-way players, right? Like, Josh Hart's not the best scorer, but he's an incredible rebounder and defender. Mitchell Robinson, one of the best rim protectors in the league. They got Isaiah Hartenstein to back up Mitchell Robinson, who held his own. You had Dante DiVincenzo, who's okay as another backup guy defensively, but he could also get you buckets. So if you find a star that's not a two-way player, like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, everything else, all of the other role players need to be set. And I think what the Knicks have done in such a short period of time really needs to be applauded, because like the Bulls, the Knicks were a laughingstock as well. The Knicks were a team where we did not trust the management to make the right decisions. We did not trust ownership not to get involved. The players that got to the team were either too old or weren't moved as early as they should have been moved. So there's a lot of parallels. And what Leon Rose has done as a former agent, and Worldwide West, William Wesley, has done as a consultant for the Knicks, or whatever his real role is, has been nothing short of miraculous. So I think Jimmy's right. But finding a star is something that you never really know when that's going to happen, and you have to identify them early, like the Knicks did with Jalen Brunson. But you have to kind of be ready when you do. And if you just have a star with nothing around him to support him, he's just going to leave, or you're just going to be in mediocrity for a really long time. Let's move on past the Bulls into some good notes, to some things that I find to be positive about Chicago sports, which is the sky, really. On a historic day, when the Cubs rolled out their first all-female broadcast crew, I have to talk a little WNBA. So the Sky right now are battling the Seattle Storm, right this second. Looks like the Sky score is 72-61. Hanging tough in the fourth quarter against the Storm, really. And Angel Reese already has a double-double, extending the record streak. Angel Reese, in terms of her rebounding ability, has been so far and away better than I think anybody could have expected, considering that Camilla Cardoza from South Carolina was drafted before her. She had her best game of the year the other night, 27-10. Man, the Sky are interesting, because they're like a team that's on the cusp of being good. I think if I was to get season tickets to any team in Chicago, it would be the Sky. I think the environment is only going to get better. I think the ticket prices are probably not exorbitant, where they're stealing all of my hard-earned money. But I think there's so much to like about what they're doing. Kennedy Carter's really good as well. I think she's a spicy one. She's got a chip on her shoulder. Angel Reese obviously does as well. Camilla does as well. But the chemistry that they have on the court has been good. Marina Mabry has been nice. But the bench, I think, has been a sore spot all year. And Diamond DeShields, Dana Evans, Isabel Harrison, they all need to kind of give more. But the coaching has been really good with Teresa Witherspoon. By the way, Teresa Witherspoon, Zion credited for his development in New Orleans when he took a leap between, I think, year one and two. So Spoon is legit. And she's going to keep those girls in line. And a couple of weekends ago, I got to catch the Sky versus Fever game at a sports bar across the street from Wintrust. And the screen as you entered the bar was the Sky Fever game. And there was a lot of other sporting events going on at that point in time. For that to be basically the leading story in a sports bar, and the big TV in a sports bar, shows you how much buzz the Sky have right now, and the Fever, of course, and Caitlin Clark, of course. But I think that's beautiful to watch. I really wish I would have paid the guap to get to that game, because that thing came down to the last second. Remember, the Fever were up double digits and coughed that lead away. Sky end up winning that game. And I think Chicago might just be talented enough to be a playoff team. I'm just not sure if they have all the bench pieces and enough time together to get over the hump against, specifically against elite teams. Specifically because the Sky are 2-6 against teams with winning records. That's going to have to change if they want to make the playoffs. But boy, oh boy, are the Sky super, super fun to watch. And I actually think this was a topic that I wasn't sure I would be able to get to. But the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Rookie of the Year debate is like a hotbed. Did you anybody expect this to be like a hotbed of controversy on the internet streets? Like people are shivving each other in the comments about who deserves that award. Angel Reese is flying up the odds board. She's now closing in. People are comparing how important it is for a guard to rebound the basketball. People are saying Angel Reese. Some people like me sometimes. Angel Reese does get a lot of her own rebounds, doesn't she? All of her own Miss Bunnies. People are talking about that. So this playoff, this Rookie of the Year race amongst two teams that aren't even in the playoffs is like leading sports conversations. And I think that's really, really cool. Angel, it does, to me, does not deserve the award. I think Caitlin Clark getting the first rookie triple-double in history of the WNBA. And I think on top of that, she's probably going to get four or five more before this whole season is over with, regardless of the turnovers. To me, she's my Rookie of the Year. But I would not, I wouldn't riot in the streets. I wouldn't go down Michigan Avenue with the sign if Angel Reese won it. I wouldn't say this is some sort of travesty. I might for like engagement and clicks on the internet, but I wouldn't really believe it, right? Like Angel Reese is a, when I told you guys the Bulls need a star, the Bulls need someone that like you can emotionally attach yourself to, someone who can get you winning time minutes and like deliver winning basketball, regardless that Angel Reese can't really score that well. Like she can, but she just doesn't right now. That's just not her thing. She's an awesome rebounder. She's a winning player. Angel Reese is the star. Angel Reese might be the biggest star in Chicago, not named Caleb Williams. Like not NFL excluded. Angel Reese is the one player I say she can't go a single effing place. She's got the Reese's Pieces fan base. She's got the AI questions with all of the Reese's stuff around them. Like she's the star. So for Chicago to have an all-female broadcast, to have me on the score post-Cubs, and for Angel Reese to be the star of Chicago means that we're in a great spot. The Sky, by the way, have cut the lead now to 7 with 3 minutes and 33 seconds left to go. So tune into that because I'm about to sign off. Everyone's been amazing. Shout out to Robbie and his food poisoning. He had to cancel last second, but Leo has stepped in his Star Wars t-shirt, and he's doing a good job. So I think he was almost going to have a meltdown right before the show started. He was breathing real heavy, and I had to ask him, are you okay? Leo, how you doing on a Sunday, baby?
I'm doing pretty good. Much better now.
We're calm. We're good. Everything's
great.
We got a good rhythm. He thought I was going to probably fillet him on the air or something. It's now 5-point lead has been cut. The Sky are rolling. Turn on your television screens because Angel Reese probably is leading the charge. And Kennedy Carter, if she's not a bucket, I don't know what is. So the Cubs have a day off tomorrow. We can all rest, relax, and not have to watch because they don't have a game. And we'll probably come back the next time I see you. And we'll be talking about the same thing, right? That the deadline is approaching and that the rebuild must be here. Real quick before we run, Angel Reese has 17 points, 14 rebounds. 17 and 14 Reese's Pieces. And Kennedy Carter has 19 and 4. Tune in to the Sky. That has been my time. Thank you so much to Leo. Thank you to everyone in the control room. Thank you to everyone who called in. And I will see you next time I get on the air. The next time I'll be all the way out on the West Coast coming in from the NBA Summer League with lots of information for you. appreciate everyone who joined us, and we will see you next time.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Just wrapping up the show here on a beautiful Sunday, on a savory Sunday. Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. We talked a little bit about the Cubs. Now we're chatting Bulls a little bit. Drop me a line, 312-644-6767. Before we talk a little bit about the Sky, we've got a caller from Deerfield, Jimmy, who wants to talk a little bit about the Bulls as well. Looking forward to hearing that. What's up, Jimmy? You're on The Score.
Trista, love your show. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
And my thought is I think we have to be a little patient, but at the same time, if we're looking to identify the star, it just doesn't grow right away. Look at SGA. He was pretty good at Charlotte before he went to OKC. Look at Jalen Brunson. Backup, pretty good player. But he grew into his own, became a star. I think if we select somebody that can create, can beat the one-on-one in NBA matchups, that's when you're able to, be able to score more, because like a Patrick Williams, he cannot create. So he'll never be the player. But I think we just have to be patient and identify. And when we see the opportunity, pull the trigger. Because they look at Luka, he creates one-on-one. That's why there's a star. Anthony Edwards creates. Jalen Brunson. And how about Jaylen Brown? So I think that's where they have to start to identify somebody that can create. Zach will be creative but didn't play defense. And I'll stop my call and I'll take you to listen to your comments. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jimmy. I think Jimmy's so right about Zach LaVine. Like, in today's superstar-driven NBA, you at least need a guard or a creator that isn't a complete zero on defense. And I know that Jalen Brunson isn't the best, and I know that Luka isn't the best, but the team had to then surround those players with other guys that were two-way players, right? Like, Josh Hart's not the best scorer, but he's an incredible rebounder and defender. Mitchell Robinson, one of the best rim protectors in the league. They got Isaiah Hartenstein to back up Mitchell Robinson, who held his own. You had Dante DiVincenzo, who's okay as another backup guy defensively, but he could also get you buckets. So if you find a star that's not a two-way player, like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, everything else, all of the other role players need to be set. And I think what the Knicks have done in such a short period of time really needs to be applauded, because like the Bulls, the Knicks were a laughing stock as well. The Knicks were a team where we did not trust the management to make the right decisions. We did not trust ownership not to get involved. The players that got to the team were either too old or weren't moved as early as they should have been moved. So there's a lot of parallels. And what Leon Rose has done as a former agent, and Worldwide West, William Wesley, has done as a consultant for the Knicks, or whatever his real role is, has been nothing short of miraculous. So I think Jimmy's right. But finding a star is something that you never really know when that's going to happen, and you have to identify them early, like the Knicks did with Jalen Brunson. But you have to kind of be ready when you do. And if you just have a star with nothing around him to support him, he's just going to leave, or you're just going to be in mediocrity for a really long time. Let's move on past the Bulls into some good notes, to some things that I find to be positive about Chicago sports, which is the Sky, really. On a historic day, when the Cubs rolled out their first all-female broadcast crew, I have to talk a little WNBA. So the Sky right now are battling the Seattle Storm, right this second. Looks like the Sky Score is 72-61. Hanging tough in the fourth quarter against the Storm, really. And Angel Reese already has a double-double, extending the record streak. Angel Reese, in terms of her rebounding ability, has been so far and away better than I think anybody could have expected, considering that Camilla Cardoza from South Carolina was drafted before her. She had her best game of the year the other night, 27-10. Man, the Sky are interesting. Because they're like a team that's on the cusp of being good. I think if I was to get season tickets to any team in Chicago, it would be the Sky. I think the environment is only going to get better. I think the ticket prices are probably not exorbitant, where they're stealing all of my hard-earned money. But I think there's so much to like about what they're doing. Kennedy Carter's really good as well. I think she's a spicy one. She's got a chip on her shoulder. Angel Reese obviously does as well. Camilla does as well. But the chemistry that they have on the court has been good. Marina Mabry has been nice. But the bench, I think, has been a sore spot all year. And Diamond DeShields, Dana Evans, Isabel Harrison, they all need to kind of give more. But the coaching has been really good with Teresa Witherspoon. By the way, Teresa Witherspoon, Zion credited for his development in New Orleans when he took a leap between, I think, year one and two. So Spoon is legit, and she's going to keep those girls in line. And a couple of weekends ago, I got to catch the Sky versus Fever game at a sports bar across the street from Wintrust. And the screen as you entered the bar was the Sky Fever game. And there was a lot of other sporting events going on at that point in time. For that to be basically the leading story in a sports bar and the big TV in a sports bar shows you how much buzz the Sky have right now. And the Fever, of course, and Caitlin Clark, of course. But I think that's beautiful to watch. I really wish I would have paid the guap to get to that game, because that thing came down to the last second. Remember, the Fever were up double digits and coughed that lead away. Sky end up winning that game. And I think Chicago might just be talented enough to be a playoff team. I'm just not sure if they have all the bench pieces and enough time together to get over the hump specifically against elite teams. Specifically because the Sky are 2-6 against teams with winning records. That's going to have to change if they want to make the playoffs. But boy, oh boy, are the Sky super, super fun to watch. And I actually think this was a topic that I wasn't sure I would be able to get to, but the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Rookie of the Year debate is like a hotbed. Did you anybody expect this to be like a hotbed of controversy on the internet streets? Like, people are shivving each other in the comments about who deserves that award. Angel Reese is flying up the odds board. She's now closing in. People are comparing how important it is for a guard to rebound the basketball. People are saying Angel Reese. Some people like me sometimes. Angel Reese does get a lot of her own rebounds, doesn't she? All of her own miss bunnies. People are talking about that. So this playoff, this Rookie of the Year race amongst two teams that aren't even in the playoffs is like leading sports conversations. And I think that's really, really cool. Angel, to me, does not deserve the award. I think Caitlin Clark getting the first rookie triple-double in history of the WNBA. And I think on top of that, she's probably going to get four or five more before this whole season is over with, regardless of the turnovers. To me, she's my Rookie of the Year. But I wouldn't riot in the streets. I wouldn't go down Michigan Avenue with the sign if Angel Reese won it. I wouldn't say this is some sort of travesty. I might for like engagement and clicks on the internet, but I wouldn't really believe it, right? Like, Angel Reese is a, when I told you guys the Bulls need a star, the Bulls need someone that like you can emotionally attach yourself to, someone who can get you winning time minutes and like deliver winning basketball, regardless that Angel Reese can't really score that well. Like, she can, but she just doesn't right now. That's just not her thing. She's an awesome rebounder. She's a winning player. Angel Reese is the star. Angel Reese might be the biggest star in Chicago not name Caleb Williams. Like NFL excluded. Angel Reese is the one player I say she can't go a single effing place. She's got the Reese's Pieces fan base. She's got the AI questions with all of the Reese's stuff around them. Like, she's the star. So for Chicago to have an all-female broadcast, to have me on the score post-Cubs, and for Angel Reese to be the star of Chicago means that we're in a great spot. The Sky, by the way, have cut the lead now to 7 with 3 minutes and 33 seconds left to go. So tune into that, because I'm about to sign off. Everyone's been amazing. Shout out to Robbie and his food poisoning. He had to cancel last second, but Leo has stepped in his Star Wars t-shirt, and he's doing a good job. So I think he was almost going to have a meltdown right before the show started. He was breathing real heavy, and I had to ask him, are you okay? Leo, how are you doing on a Sunday, baby?
I'm doing pretty good. Much better now.
We're calm, we're good,
everything's great.
We got a good rhythm. He thought I was going to probably fillet him on the air or something. It's now 5-point lead has been cut. The Sky are rolling. Turn on your television screens, because Angel Reese probably is leading the charge, and Kennedy Carter, if she's not a bucket, I don't know what is. So the Cubs have a day off tomorrow. We can all rest, relax, and not have to watch because they don't have a game. And we'll probably come back the next time I see you, and we'll be talking about the same thing, right? That the deadline is approaching, and that the rebuild must be here. Real quick before we run, Angel Reese has 17 points, 14 rebounds. 17 and 14 Reese's Pieces. And Kennedy Carter has 19 and 4. Tune in to the Sky. That has been my time. Thank you so much to Leo. Thank you to everyone in the control room. Thank you to everyone who called in. And I will see you next time I get on the air. The next time I'll be all the way out on the West Coast, coming in from the NBA Summer League with lots of information for you. Appreciate everyone who joined us. And we will see you next time.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.